Good evening. Welcome to The Big Fight. I'm Vishnu Shom. The Supreme Court has said it would not immediately interfere with a Delhi High Court order granting bail to the student activists Natasha Narwal, Devangana Kalita and Asif Iqbal Tana, who are accused of conspiracy over the Delhi riots and have been charged under the anti-terror law UAPA. However, a two-member bench also said the Supreme Court would examine the bail order, noting that the case could have quote-unquote pan-India ramifications because of the way UAPA, or the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, had been interpreted. Now, this will be heard next month, as the Supreme Court stressed that the High Court order could not, in the meantime, be used as a precedent for other cases. On The Big Fight tonight, while the student activists will remain free for now, and they will be joining us on this program, should the original order of the Delhi High Court, which ordered their release and was seen to defend the right to dissent, be allowed to remain? On the panel tonight, two of the young protesters who've spent a year in jail but are out now, Natasha Narwal and Devangana Kalita. We're also joined by Colin Gonzalez, the senior lawyer of the Supreme Court, T.R. Kakkar, the former Delhi Police Commissioner, Rakesh Dwivedi, the senior advocate, Pinky Anand, senior advocate and former additional Solicitor General of India, Pawan Khera, spokesperson of the Congress, and Geeta Bhatt, the political analyst. But what exactly has taken place as far as the events or what the Supreme Court has actually said? Well, for starters, the activists will remain free. The question we're asking is, should a landmark High Court order that had preceded this and on the basis of which they were released, protecting dissent, be allowed to remain? So what exactly happened today? Well, the issue is important and could have pan-India ramifications is what the argument actually was made by the police. 53 people died, many were police officers, 700 were injured, which is why the argument being made was that this judgment had national ramifications, and the argument was that even if these two activists or all the activists were allowed to be out of jail, the key parts of the Delhi High Court verdict needed to, in a sense, not be applied. Is that even legal? That's what we'll try and find out. So the Delhi police told the Supreme Court, the court says that riots were controlled, so UAPA is not applicable, referring to the Delhi High Court judgment. The Delhi police telling the Supreme Court, how can the intensity of the offence be diluted? Arguing that the intensity of the offence was allegedly diluted by the Delhi High Court in its earlier judgment. So what exactly did the students say? The students told the Supreme Court, we too also have a lot to say in the meantime. Let us not treat the High Court order as a precedent. Let the Supreme Court examine it. So they're okay with that for the moment. The Supreme Court said in the bail plea discussing about law is something very surprising. The issue is important and could have pan-India ramifications. The Supreme Court says we will not interfere with the bail order. The Supreme Court says the Delhi High Court observations on UAPA should not be used by any person before any court as a precedent. And this is an interpretation that we'll be looking at very, very closely indeed. But the way we start the big fight is by a segment called The First Punch. It gives all our participants exactly 1 minute to make their point, and then I interject, stop them, move to the others, then we move to our debate. So let me come to you first, Natasha Narwal. You've got 1 minute. Why do you believe, and this is what we're looking at today, why do you believe that the original High Court judgment protecting the right to dissent should be allowed to remain?
I think that judgment should remain and be upheld is because the way it exposes this whole way of being of the state of using laws like UAPA and or be it sedition to stifle the voices of dissent in this country today, and to put people behind bars in under such stringent laws that bail is like the rule that jail is an exception and bail is a rule is completely overturned on its head, and even the premise of that you are innocent until proven guilty is also turned on its head. So it is really, really important that this order gets upheld, and so that as the High Court order itself says, the line between the right to protest and raise your voice against policies of the government are not conflated with anti-national or terrorist activities.
Okay. Devangana, your 1 minute starts now.
Yeah, I also firstly would like to thank the Delhi High Court, because of whom we are out today. And I can be home today sitting here speaking to you. And in fact, it was not, we didn't believe that we might actually be out. So it is quite a relief, and that we are going to stay out for some time. And yeah, we hope that it's welcome that the Supreme Court has opened the matter for observation, and there will be larger consideration about this act, which has incarcerated so many activists and so many people inside prison. And we hope more people don't have to see this fate that we had to see over the last 1 year, and which many people continue to see inside prison.
All right. All right. We'll come back to both of you as we start the debate. But first, let me go across to the senior Supreme Court lawyer, Colin Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez, you've got 1 minute for your opening remarks. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I would disagree with the Supreme Court order passed today, even though that order doesn't stay the High Court order. But the observations that you cannot cite this as a precedent, and it will not be used in any court, in any proceeding in this country, is extraordinary and is totally uncalled for. And I say this because any interference by the Supreme Court can only be on the basis that there is an error in the High Court judgment. And I say to all those present here today, and this is the question we must ask the country, which line of that judgment is wrong? Which words used are wrong? There is nothing, the High Court concludes, there's no incitement to an offense, there's no overt act, there's no criminal activity at all. And the only thing that they've done is speak out against the government. So if there's no mistake in the order,
okay,
the Supreme Court had no business interfering with it.
All right. T.R. Kakkar, your first remarks. Should the Delhi High Court order be allowed to remain as it is?
You see, the matter went before the Delhi High Court for grant of bail. Delhi High Court in its zeal has totally annulled the charge sheet. Rather, the offences cited in the charge sheet are true or not, or valid or not, is to be decided ultimately by the trial court. This is an overreach as far as I am concerned, and that is why the Supreme Court felt that there has to be further look into it. They have not outright rejected the appeal of the Delhi police to say that you have no case. Obviously, there is a case. And they, so far as the implementation or so far as the applying this particular judgment of Delhi High Court in other cases, has practically been stayed. It is only the bail that has not been sort of... stopped.
Right. So okay, sir, I'm interrupting you. Your 1 minute is over. I wanted to go across... to Pinky Anand. Ma'am, your 1 minute starts now. Go ahead.
Vishnu, what I really think is that in this case, I think we are diverting from the total issue. The question of bail itself is something which has been accepted by both the sides, and basically the parties are out on bail. And that is based on completely different paramaterials rather than to go into the merits of the matter. So the question is whether UAPA is constitutionally valid or not valid. That is something which is not really there for a bail court to decide. That has to be decided by an appropriate court and possibly appropriate jurisdiction. And that is exactly the reason why Supreme Court said that let the parties be released on bail, but let the High Court order be stayed insofar as being cited as a precedent is concerned, because you can't jeopardize the implementation of the UAPA Act, which is one of the principal acts dealing with the sovereignty and anti-terrorist activities. So we can't really go into that larger question in a bail matter. And it is very fortunate that the Supreme Court stepped in to ultimately grant the bail, uphold the bail, but at the same time stay it as a precedent.
All right. Right on the cue. I didn't have to interrupt at all. Okay. Pavan Khera joins us. Pavan Khera, this is the... It's the first punch part of the big fight. You've got exactly 1 minute. We are looking at whether the original Delhi High Court order, which protects the right to dissent, should be allowed to remain. Your time starts now, sir.
Vishnu, more than, I don't really want to get into whether the High Court was right, whether the Supreme Court is right, whether the trial court was right. That's not my domain. What I would like to challenge and question is the Unlawful Activities Prevention Amendment Act 2019, which designates individuals as terrorists even before trial. Now, that's where the problem area is. Look at the number of people. UAPA existed with reasonable restrictions, always existed under every government, right from 1967, if I remember right. It always existed. Reasonable restrictions notwithstanding. What is the problem is, without trial, how can you put individuals behind bars? This is nothing. This 2019 amendment is nothing but legitimization of the lawlessness of the state.
Okay.
The state will decide that I'm a terrorist. And I'm put behind bars.
Legitimization of the lawlessness of state, sir. Your time is up. I gave you 1 second less. You'll have to apologize. I'll have to apologize to you, Mr. Khera, for that. I'll give you more later. Geeta Bhatt, would you like to come in with your 1 minute now, your opening remarks?
Well, Vishnuji, you see, Supreme Court has raised a very, very valid concern when they said that this could have pan-India ramifications, and especially saying that, you know, 100 written pages in the verdict given for a bail case are basically trying to interpret of the anti-terror UAPA law. So what is significance over here? Significant over here is, and the concern raised is that, you know, the blurring line between the right to freedom of expression and those actions which compromise the internal security and, challenge the social fabric of the society, resulting into, you know, the kind of rights and loss of lives and loss of public servants that we saw during the riots, East Delhi riots in Delhi. Now, what has been again and again brought to the question is that, that UAPA is something which has its
I'm just its interrupting problems, you mid-sentence because your 1 minute is over. We'll come back to you in a little while. Ashwani Dubey, 1 minute. Should the original Delhi High Court order be allowed to remain? Your time starts now.
See, Delhi High Court was hearing a bail application. In a bail application, discarding and evaluating all the evidences which were gathered by the police after the investigation was not allowed in a bail application. And UAPA are in addition to the restrictions under the CRPC or any other law for the time being enforced. The Supreme Court, a bench led by Justice N.V. Ramanna, has clearly says that the bail proceedings or the proceedings and the special enactment are distinct, and the courts are duty bound to refuse bail where the suspect is prima facie believed to be guilty. Here, an offense which was committed against the state, and the allegation is that they try that resulted into the death of so many people and that related to the violence, that riots. That is what the Supreme Court said. It will be having a far-reaching ramification and all over the country. That is why we have to look into it. But giving bail and not giving bail, as a lawyer, I would say that is a complete discretion of the court.
All right. Complete discretion of the court. So let's begin the big fight. Let me go straight across to Devangana Kalita. Devangana, my first question to you, do you believe that the Supreme Court ruling that the High Court judgment should not be treated as a precedent is a setback for your right to dissent?
Well, the matter is sub judice, so I don't think I can comment too much on it. But yeah, I would like to say that I hope the High Court order, because of which we are out today, that remains, and justice prevails, and we have faith in the judicial system.
Natasha, is it your concern that the bail that you have now that the entire matter is going to be examined by the court, is in fact not necessarily permanent freedom, as it were, that there is every possibility that this might be reviewed?
Yes, of course, that concern is there. But as Devangana just said, that I also hope that this bail order remains and gets upheld ultimately by the Supreme Court, and justice prevails. And as very rightly the debate has gone into what are the ramifications of UAPA and what is the applicability of UAPA. So, in the interest of justice, in the interest of liberty, the Supreme Court passes an appropriate order.
Pinky Anand, isn't there a real concern that somewhere down the road we are missing the larger picture? Do these women appear to be terrorists to you? Now, you can argue that a terrorist doesn't look a certain way or doesn't talk a certain way. But let's look into our minds and into our hearts. These are students. They're essentially young kids. Are they terrorists?
Vishnu, I don't think this is the arena that we should be entering into in any case. Please. I mean, let's not go there. As to who can be or who cannot be, I don't wish to enter into the domain of the particular parties who are here and whose case is being heard. This is for the courts to decide. You have a charge. It will be met at that level. The question today is something of the impact of the judgment which we are discussing, and that is something which we can discuss. And incidentally, the parties, both sides, agreed that aside from the bail order, there'd be no difficulty in staying the order of the High Court qua the precedent issue. So what are we talking about? Are we going to discuss whether people are terrorists, not terrorists? Are we courts? Are we going to adjudicate this matter?
No, I'm just asking you a question. We can't adjudicate. We can only argue.
I'm sorry.
We can only debate.
I don't think this is the domain of something. There are several issues that have been raised by the police. There are several issues that have been raised regarding the number of people who were killed, the number of people who were injured. I think we leave it to a larger domain to discuss this issue. And it is definitely not the domain within the bail court to be discussing this. Bail is only regarding a limited perspective of a person being entitled to liberty at the time the matter is being tried. Okay. I don't think we should go well beyond it, because we are dealing with some of the strictest requirements that a country has. When you deal with terrorism, you have to have that requirement, and there is a rule of law to prevail there. We can't keep confusing and making up issues on some domain and bring them within and say, no, this is not there or this is there. There is a defined criteria for what the law entails, and that is something which has to be met within the parameters of law.
Mr. Gonzalez, is it your concern that the High Court, which is a constitutional court, has ruled something, and then for the Supreme Court to say that whatever the High Court ruled on, isn't a precedent, that where does that legally leave the verdict of the High Court?
It's totally wrong.
No, but I'm asking you legally. Legally, you believe it's okay?
Legally, it's totally wrong for any court to interfere with an order of High Court or a lower court without having a single reason to interfere. And if the High Court reasoning is so impeccable that going through all the evidence, I find nothing which leads to violence, incitement of violence, or an act of violence by the accused, if I can find nothing in the thousands of pages that you show me, then I prima facie feel this is not a case of terrorism at all. And all that you have to do, government counsel, is to show the court that one page, that one line, which will make the court change its mind. But they couldn't. And the court couldn't. And so the court took a very wrong way out by saying, oh, we will leave bail aside now. We will keep it intact. And don't forget, bail was the core of the matter. The government fought it tooth and nail. But when they couldn't show a single piece of evidence, a single line, single page, then they say, oh, we don't mind if they get bail, but now the larger issue. And what is the larger issue? Can you have terrorism against a person when there is no terror at all? No terrorist act.
All right.
That's the larger issue. And that's settled today. Court judgment settles it. Now, the other side must show you now, let them argue as if you're a judge. This line is terrorism. That word is terrorism. This page. They can't even do it today. So they are evading the question and go round and round and round.
Mr. Dubey, the central issue over here on whether these students are terrorists has not been answered in the High Court. Right? So therefore, why are we looking at it in the Supreme Court at all? Unless the Supreme Court says that the High Court order suffered from a grave infirmity on the basis of information that it had actually read. Supreme Court has not done that. They've just put it aside for the moment, it appears. How can they do that?
Vishnuji, appeal is a constitutional right. Be it police, prosecuting agency, or individual. So if the police is aggrieved by any order passed by the High Court, then the police has every authority to challenge it. The same is with the individual. Here it is the case where the discretion has been given to the courts to enlarge on any accused on bail, then whether the bail court has to go into the merits and demerits of the law, law passed by the parliament, where the law is applicable or not, and discard all the evidences which has been gathered by the investigating agencies after months hard work.
Yeah, but the High Court, sir, has said that that evidence is not good enough to call these women terrorists.
At the time of bail, there is a stage. The stage is the charge. At the time of charge, it means by virtue of the High Court's order, the High Court has given a clear go to the trial court that, look, based on my judgment, you can drop the charges. So here is the question, where the act, which is a special act enacted under the special law to deal with the terrorist activities, has to be looked into differently or are the other offenses which are...
No, but why don't we look, sir, at what the High Court has said? What if they said, prima facie, these do not disclose the commission of any offence under Section 15, the Terrorist Act, 17, which is punishment for raising funds for Terrorist Act, and Section 18, punishment for conspiracy of the UAPA. None of these segments have applied. The High Court therefore said, additional conditions, limitations and restrictions on grant of bail under Section 43D do not apply either. Nothing, none of these provisions have stuck.
Terrorist activities are not only with regard to the external aggression. It is also the internal disturbance. If it is created, waste a war is...
What internal disturbance, sir? The right to... If you dissent, there is disturbance. So right. We stop dissent.
19.1A of the Constitution gives every right for the free speech and expression.
Correct.
But immediately if it crosses the
sir,
border...
Sir, dissent causes disturbance. Dissent is meant to cause disturbance. You'll stop disturbance and in the process kill dissent.
Now the matter is in Supreme Court. We have many legal jurists of this country,
right.
Eminent lawyer, Mr. Gonsalves.
Pavan Khera, come in now. What is this really about? Is this about a technical understanding of how this case has proceeded in the High Court and now in the Supreme Court? What is being looked at? Or is this essentially about how the rights of these students is being muzzled? What is this about?
Vishnu, there are two strategies of this particular regime over the last 7 years we have observed. There is a white-collar strategy to deal with people like us, you, me, political, social activists, cartoonists like Manjul, where you argue through intimidation, where you assassinate their characters, where you label them in social media and across all platforms as anti-nationals. And then there is a blue-collar strategy, that is what has happened with these young activists, which is you, in our case, in the white-collar case, you demonize. In the blue-collar case, you criminalize dissent. You criminalize protest. Now, if Anna Hazare movement were to happen under this regime, believe me, all of them would be charged under Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, UAPA, 2009, as amended in 2019. They will all be terrorists. They will all be anti-national. So,
okay.
This, what is the conviction rate of those arrested under UAPA? Between 2014 and 19,
absolutely minimal.
The conviction rate is 2%.
Right.
So either you study the Malimat Committee recommendations of reforms in criminal justice system and question the quality of investigation, question the quality of trial, where is there something seriously wrong if there is 2% conviction rate of those arrested under UAPA. You saw what happened in Surat. 20 years, 122 people behind bars for 20 years. And now the Surat court pronounces them innocent. Five people lost their lives while being in prison. Now, is this the quality of investigation? Is this the quality of justice we want in our system, in our country? These
All
are
right,
larger
Geeta
questions.
Bhatt, would you like to come in over there? Several examples raised on how UAPA has not worked. Right? Conviction rates are abysmal over here.
Well,
is this something we need to look at very closely?
Vishnuji, well, you see, it is in this country that Sadhvi Pragya for years together was languishing in jail, you know, without a charge sheet. That also happened over here. In 2012, in Tamil Nadu, when a nuclear, there was a protest regarding putting up a nuclear plant, there were 9,000 people who were, there were 9,000 people, you know, who were put under sedition. So there could be many such examples, but what is important, and I think that is what Solicitor General also had said today in the court hearing, that it is not regarding the bail that has been given. It is regarding the interpretation which has been given of the UAPA Act, and this to be used as a precedent by other lawyers in other cases for granting of bail. And that is what, and the concern has been taken and very receptively by the Supreme Court. And it is, they have still not given any decision on it. They have said that, you know, there has to be filing of counter affidavits, and after that they are going to look into this,
Natasha, all right. Now, one moment. Natasha Narwal, is it your intention to stop protesting?
It is not. It is definitely not. And I will continue my struggle for the broadening and emboldening of voices of democracy, voices of liberty, voices of justice in this country. And I'm really, again, thankful for the Delhi High Court order, which, again, makes this very important distinction between the right to protest and a terrorist activity. And one cannot conflate these two. Protesting against a policy of the government is not an anti-national activity. It is not against the nation. Actually, it is in the interest of building a nation which respects democracy, which respects liberty, which respects our constitution. So I think that is not at all my intention to stop protesting for all these things.
Devangana, based on what we see now, based on the fact that the Supreme Court will be looking at this inside out, based on what so many people are saying, are you less inclined to continue with your protest because you may end up back in jail? If not for this case, then you go back, start protesting. They can slap UAP on you on something else.
Well, I guess now one has faced the worst that could have happened, I guess. And sometimes when they try to scare you so much that you lose fear itself in some ways, even as incarceration is never easy, it's an extremely difficult, dehumanizing process, but it's definitely not going to snatch away our voices. It is not going to snatch away our struggles for democracy, for justice, and for the most foundational principles of our constitution. So, yeah, I don't think we are going to stop protesting.
Natasha, were you scared inside jail? Were you told to give up your dissenting ways?
Well, of course, we were told that multiple times. But I don't think we ever felt scared of that, because as Devangna just said, that it works in the opposite way. When you have seen the worst that can happen to you, your fear goes away. And you're only there's only more strength to draw. And we drew strength from not just voices of dissent outside, which were, of course, very important, but also so many prisoners inside who are also struggling for survival every day in completely dehumanizing conditions. And we derived a lot of love and care and solidarity. And it was even inside prison, your struggle continues. So there was no question of being scared.
Mr. Kakkar, let's look a little bit more at what the Delhi High Court said. And I quote, allegations relating to inflammatory speeches, organizing of chakka jams, instigating women to protest and to stockpile various articles and other similar allegations, in our view, are at worst evidence that the appellant participated in organizing protests. But can we discern no specific, but we can discern no specific or particularized allegation, much less any material to bear out the allegation that the appellant incited violence? What to talk of committing a terrorist act or a conspiracy or an act preparatory to the commission of a terrorist act as understood in UAPA? I mean, this is a court which has looked at every single part of this.
I have no quarrel with the court and what the court has observed. But my impression is that the court has to look into only whether the bail should be granted to the under trial, the court has gone much beyond, which was not required because without realizing.
But Mr. Kakkar, respectfully, sir, how could the court not go beyond?
I've been waiting patiently, and you don't. Let me tell you that the order of the High Court could have far-reaching consequences, and the decision whether this law applies, that this will not apply, whether it will lead to acquittal or conviction, it is the job of the lower court. It is the job of the session court. And it is only then that the High Court can interpret in whatever fashion when the case comes before appeal comes. Now, Supreme Court has not totally upheld the judgment or the orders passed by the High Court. The Supreme Court has been very very right in observing, all right, leave the bail, but what about the other things? We will look into it after the counter affidavit have been filed, and after a month we'll decide.
Okay.
Now, to say that whether so and so is a terrorist or not a terrorist, nothing is written on anybody's face.
No, but Mr. Gonzalez, let me ask Mr. Gonzalez this. The Mr. role of the Gonzalez trial court in deciding this entire
opinion.
Matter.
I have my own opinion.
No, of course
Mr.
you do. Sarah, but others also have their opinion, sir. You've stated your opinion.
These people committed an offense.
Okay.
They were charged under the relevant sections, and case was put before the trial court. Let the trial court decide.
Mr. Gonzalez, let the trial court decide
UAPA,
what the High Court has actually said goes beyond
UAPA,
the purview of this particular case. How would you respond to that?
It's very simple. In the trial court, evidence is led based on documents that you have produced in your charge sheet. Now, when you look at the entire charge sheet, which is the ambit of the prosecution case, the circumference of the prosecution case, you can show no line, no page of a crime. So can you now, realizing that your charge sheet has not a leg to stand on, can you now, when you go to trial, lead evidence on things that are not there in your charge sheet? You can't, obviously. So you go to trial for what? Why can't the whole case actually can be put an end to today?
So the judge said,
show me one page from your own charge sheet. Show me a page from your own, and they say we can't show.
The fact that the trial court has not done it, the charge, as far as the trial court is concerned, stands subject to the trial. So, if Mr. Gonzalez's argument is accepted, then why did the trial court not throw out the charge sheet? The trial court obviously has not done it.
Could have. You are exactly right. Could have. In a discharge application,
could have,
to the court.
Not.
Yes,
but
when the discharge application comes, they argue.
Because
but listen, sir, don't.
Sir,
just listen to me.
Some substance in the charge. The trial court did not, because the trial court saw some substance in the charge, and therefore it went.
Can you listen to me for a minute? Only
you
one
can't
minute.
Have both his eyes.
You see, if a discharge application was brought, saying that there is not a leg for this case to stand on, not a bail application, a discharge application, the High Court could have discharged them and said there's no evidence. You go to trial for what? This was a bail application seeking bail where the police said that these are terrorists and the accused said, show us.
Now, Mr.
From
Gonzalez,
your charge sheet,
you mean
show
that
the
High Court can direct the trial court to throw out the case?
All right.
Do you think the High Court has the right to tell the trial court throw out the case?
No, the High Court
itself
can discharge.
Is it permitted under the law?
On a discharge application, Commissioner Saab, on a discharge application,
why?
That there's not
the
a shred of evidence, the High Court
can
throw out the case.
All right, I want to go across to my other panelists. Ashwini Dubey, the larger issue of the operation or the success of UAPA, can that not be decided, right, looking at other instances beyond this case? Why should this case and that verdict in the High Court decide whether UAPA works or doesn't work?
Vishnuji, very respected senior, my senior, Mr. Colin Sir is here. It is not the case where High Court has only decided the bail. As a student of law, what I understand, it is not the case where the High Court has decided the bail, but High Court has gone into out of the bail purview and it decided the act itself. It will be having far-reaching ramifications, which has been observed by the Supreme Court. Here the allegations, I'm not saying that they are the guilty. Here the allegations.
So, but Ashwini ji, how do you separate the two? In a case like this, when there is no evidence, if the High Court has interpreted...
But
Ashwini ji, respectfully, and I'll let you answer, but just please bear me out. If the High Court has looked at the evidence, if they've looked at what UAPA says, and have said that nothing over here applies to UAPA, obviously they're going to look at UAPA and assess UAPA's application. Where have they said that UAPA is bad? They've only said that this doesn't apply to UAPA.
I will take only 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, my question is what the Vishnuji High Court said. High Court said that, so look, the UAPA is only applied when anything happened, any aggression or disturbance happens against the defense. Here the allegations, I'm again saying, here the allegations that the riots happened because these persons conspired with others when the presidents of US were sitting.
But that conspiracy angle has failed.
Died in the riots.
There's no proof of conspiracy, sir. As per the High Court order, there is no proof of conspiracy. There are four or five sections, sir, none of which have stuck.
That my learned senior is here, he would explain better. But my point is that 53% died in the riots, of which many were...
Of course, and that's terrible and that's very unfortunate, sir. But in this particular case, have these women caused the death of 53 people? Are they terrorists who have involved? Are they terrorists who have involved? I mean, part of a conspiracy.
At the time of bail is not the appropriate stage to decide this issue. I am a very senior lawyer of this country, eminent lawyer of this country. Bail is not, we read his judgment. Okay. We argue bail is not the appropriate stage to decide this issue.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Khera, would you like to come in on that? And this is something that Mr. Kakkar also mentioned. Mr. Dubey is repeating that. This stage, at the bail stage, there was overreach by the High Court.
Vishnu, I'm half a lawyer, so I don't want to comment on the legal aspect of it. But I repeat, before I forget, Geeta ji from the RSS, you spoke about Pragya Singh Thakur. I'm sorry, I won't call her Sadhvi because I'm also a Hindu. I don't consider her a Sadhvi. Pragya Singh Thakur case, what did the special prosecutor Rohini Salian say? She said that she was asked by an NIA officer to go soft on the Malegaon blast accused. So don't present half facts. Let's present full facts. I did not interrupt. Please don't interrupt. Please do not interrupt. Vishnu, I thought this was a show where people don't interrupt each other.
No, no, sir. Actually, sir, this is the big fight where you people do interrupt.
Thank you for allowing me. Now I'll also show you my lung power. Now, point here, Vishnu, is that this particular amendment brought in 2019 is bad in law. The larger debate, which has influenced so many people, this particular bad law has influenced so many, has really victimized people. It's a state-sponsored victimization of people who are dissenting against governments or people who are peacefully protesting against government. Look at the irony. All the BJP leaders who were instigating rioters are out.
But
any section of UAPA imposed on Kapil Mishra or on any other person tweeting away on social media instigating people. So how can you put these activists behind bars and let Kapil Mishra...
All right, okay, all right, both of you, just please, let's bring down tempers a little bit. I want to wrap up this program by going back to Devangana and to Natasha. Natasha, there are others also who have been bailed, who are in jail, not yet out on bail. As part of this, you spoke about them yesterday. Could you tell us a little bit more about how many other people you feel are innocent still being inside?
Of course, we have, three of us have got bail, but a lot of other people who are unjustly incarcerated, they remain inside, and we hope that they also get justice soon and they also get their lives and liberty back as soon as possible.
Devangana, what does it feel like to be free?
It still feels unbelievable and surreal that one is
free at least for some time now. And it's, I mean, we, given the stringent provisions that we were accused under, we had really prepared for the long haul. So this in some sense is really unexpected, but welcome. And yeah, thanks to the judiciary for making this possible.
Mr. Gonzalez, do you believe,
as you said that others are still inside.
Yeah.
So we hope that the judicial system also takes that into account and justice prevails for everyone.
And the fact that during a pandemic, there are actually many people, political or otherwise, even common prisoners, where courts are, it's difficult for courts to function, languishing under long trials in overcrowded prisons. So it is, at least the last 1 year in prison has taught us that our very prison system, our system of incarceration itself needs massive reforms.
Mr. Kakkar, you were nodding your head. You have a point to make, sir. Quickly,
yeah,
I need to wrap this up.
Head is, the two ladies have, well, it is expected that they will have a smile on their face. But do they regret that their intimidation of people, their activities led to the death of a large number of people, destruction of property, etc.?
Okay, let's ask that.
Do they have any regrets?
Okay, do you have any regrets? Any one of you, would you like to answer?
You can continue to smile because you are outside.
So surely, sir, but, smiling is not an act of dissent.
No, no, I'm not saying that. They have all every right to.
Right, but that's a fair question. Would you like to answer that? Mr. Kakkar, let them, you ask the question, let them answer that. Any regrets?
No,
we don't want to comment on the case since it is sub judice, but we would like to say that, you know, ultimately we know our truth. We know that we fought for constitutional values. We stood for the very foundational values of our constitution. And yes, for that matter, we do not have any regrets.
Natasha?
And the allegations which are being put on us, sir, as you know, the trial has still not started. Please, you cannot pronounce us guilty on this platform. Please do not indulge in any kind of media trial. At least respect the judicial system and let our trial take its course.
Respect. We do respect the judicial system in so far it has to be respected.
Right,
after
sir. So maybe we should do
that.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Pronounced us guilty even before our trial has begun, and that's why you're asking.
But you can't be, then you can't be acquitted as well. But there is a system, there is a court which will decide.
No, but nobody is taking away from the court, sir. Nobody is taking away from the court, sir.
Ask us this question. You have to respect
that there is no case. That there is no case. And if there is no case, why did the trial court hold these people inside for such a long time? Why did the trial court at some stage not throw out the
All right, Mr.
Then
Gonzalez, last word to you. What is ultimately at stake here, sir?
What is at stake here and what is really making the government very afraid is that for the first time, in clear terms, right across the country because of the media, the people of India know that they can protest strongly and it is not a crime as long as they don't engage in violence. Prior to the judgment, across the country, young people, all kinds of people were fearful. If we criticize the government, we'll end up in jail in sedition or terrorism. It has set the people free. Indiraj Ford is correct. It has opened the cages of freedom. That is why the central government is so afraid. And that is why when they come to programs like this, they don't know what to say. Because the judgment is unerringly 100% correct.
It has freed the people of India from the terror of the central government.
All right, Mr. Khera, 30 seconds. I need to start wrapping this up. And then I'll go back to Mr. Dubey. Yeah.
An apology from Mr. Kakkar to these young activists. Indian law, he has a principle of innocent until proven guilty. How dare this retired commissioner has the guts to call the pronounce them guilty?
He better apologize to these young activists.
How can you allow such a question?
What were the consequences?
Who is he to pronounce them guilty? Is it the Supreme Court? Is it the Chief Justice of India? How dare you?
Who are you?
How dare
you talk to me like this?
Nonsense.
Why? Why can't he ask a question, sir?
Mr. Kakkar, he says
you're judging these two young women. You're unfairly judging them and pronouncing them guilty.
I care two hoops for you. You are a political activist. Remain there.
Let's not personalize this any further. Ashwini Dubey, last comment to you. What is the larger issue at stake here?
As of now, the Supreme Court is looking into the larger issue. The issue which has been decided by Honorable Delhi High Court in its wisdom holds the law, it is applied the same manner which has been taken by the view taken by the High Court or the Supreme Court puts this. This is wait for the right time. We'll discuss it after that.
All right, Geeta, but the last, Supreme Court is all... Geeta ji, last comment. 30 seconds, go ahead.
Vishnu ji, it is, you know, the particular trial is about to begin and, you know, the verdict will come based on the facts and the charge sheet which is going to be placed in the court. Let there be a justice, but at the same time, it is very important that the laws which have been enacted by our parliament, they need to be, if deliberated and debated, they need to be done in a very, very mature manner. And for this, I'm very sure the upcoming Supreme Court hearing, there will be some positive aspects
all right.
that will be added to it.
Absolutely. And hopefully there will be justice one way or the other by the arbiter. This is not a media trial. We are just asking questions. The Supreme Court has decided to look at this and they will. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. We're out of time on The Big Fight. Good night.